Numbers chapter number 14. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Detours of Life. The Detours of Life. Detours. Don't we love detours? So if you don't know where Numbers is, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And we're in Numbers chapter number 14. We're going to read verses 26 to 38. 26 to 38. We'll give you a moment to get there. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter number 14, verse 26 to 38. Starting with verse number 26, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you." Verse 29 is a positive verse, right? "Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which he said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Man, that's pretty rough right there. It's pretty rough. Verse 34. "After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that took the time to be here, Lord, to hear your word preached, and Lord, just to praise you through our singing and just our praise and all these things. Lord, we thank you for them. I thank you for the sermon that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, and I pray that you'll speak to hearts as only you can. Lord, we know everybody has detours in their lives, Lord. Not everything goes as planned, but Lord, we know that you'll walk with us through it all. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. Be with every heart now as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here in the book of Numbers, let me just catch you up on what's going on here. Of course, we have Israel that was slaves in Egypt. And the book of Exodus is Moses delivers them out of Egypt. And of course, you know, God parts the Red Sea, and they go through all these things. Well, here in the book of Numbers, God is leading them. Well, Moses is leading them through God, okay, God through Moses, leading them through the wilderness, and he wants to bring them into the promised land. In fact, God says, I'm going to give it to you. Well, they arrive at the entrance, if you will, to the promised land, and God says, Moses, go in and take it. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read that Moses negotiated with the people that instead of just going in, they wanted to send in spies to spy out the land. And then in Numbers chapter 13, one chapter before where we're at here, that Moses does that. He actually sends in spies, and he sends in 12 spies, one to represent each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 10 of them come back saying, we can't do it. They had a lack of faith. We can't do it. We're as grasshoppers in the land. They're too big. They're too strong. They had a lack of faith. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they stood firm and said, God said we're going to have it. Let's take it. Well, the 10 outnumbered the two, obviously, and they persuaded the rest of the Israelites to go against Moses and essentially rebel. And what ends up happening is God says, because of your lack of faith, I'm going to punish you with 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And then the verses that we read that were pretty rough, what did it say? Your carcasses will die in the wilderness, but your kids, your body, your dead bodies, your bodies will die in the wilderness, and your children will inherit the land that you should have inherited. Okay? So basically what I'm getting at is Israel chose to take a detour instead of doing what God intended them to do. And that's where I get the title of the sermon is Detours of Life. So three things I want to point out this morning. First of all, we see immature detours. What I mean by that is spiritually immature. Okay? Immature detours. Second of all, we see innocent bystanders. Innocent bystanders. And then thirdly, I want you to know Emmanuel's detours. Amen? Now, first of all, I want you to notice immature detours. Look at verse 30 again in our text, please. It says, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. And we'll stop there. So you see, God's original plan was for them to go into the promised land. And in fact, he even said, I'll go in and fight before you, essentially. And Israel had already seen God part the Red Sea. Israel had already seen God feed them in the wilderness when they thought they were going to die. All these were things that God had done for Israel, and yet they said, no, we can't do it. They showed a lack of faith. And because of their spiritual immaturity, they decided to take a detour for themselves. Not only did they choose to take a detour, but then they complained about it the whole time. And what's worse than complaining about it is they blamed other people. They blamed other people. Now notice Numbers chapter 16, verse 41 says this. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. You see, they chose to do the detour. It wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. And then they start complaining about it. You see, God laid out this plan for them to do, and they totally ignored God's plan, chose their own path, and then complained about it. How many of you and I are like that today? Amen. How many times have we chosen our own path, forgotten what in the world God told us to do, and then we start to see the results of that, and then we start complaining about it? Like it's God's fault. God says, no. And God says, that's not my fault. That's your fault. Amen. And then not only did they complain about it, but as I mentioned, they blamed others. They blamed others. Husbands, how many times have we done something and then we get mad and then we just want to start blaming our wife or our kids, right? Why'd you do that for? And it's like, no, that was you. You're the one who chose to do that, right? I can tell you there's been times I've been in the car and, you know, talking about detours, and we're driving somewhere, and then, you know, say there's a really bad traffic, and I'll be like, CJ, you know, I don't want to sit in this. I think I should take, you know, maybe take the back roads. And she's like, whatever. And then I end up doing what I want to do, and then I'll be like, this took longer than it would have if I would have just stayed. Thanks. And I blame her for it, right? And she's like, hey, you chose it. How many times do we do that in our lives? We choose our own detours because of our immaturity, our spiritual immaturity, and then we want to sit and blame God for it. We date somebody that we know God doesn't want us to date. We marry somebody that we know God doesn't want us to marry. And then we want to sit and blame God for it. God, why is this person doesn't even want to go to church? Hey, don't blame God for it. That's your fault. Amen? Now look, God can redeem you out of that situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is, what's the first step? You admit it. Admit that it's your fault. Come to God humbly and say, God, redeem my situation. I've made a mess out of it. And God will. Amen? God will make, he will redeem you out of your mess if you quit blaming him for it. Spiritually immature detours. How many teenagers make bad decisions in their lives and then they get caught? And then they want to argue with their parents. What? It's like, you made the decision. That's on you. Parents, how many times can we remember being a teenager, right? You snuck out or did something, you know, hung out, went somewhere where you shouldn't have went, and then you get caught, and then you argue with your parents. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, probably all of us have done that, right? Don't be super spiritual here. You can admit it. You've all done that before, I'm sure. As a teenager, you did that, right? And then now you're like, these teenagers are so stubborn and rebellious today. not more stubborn and rebellious than you were when you were a teenager. Amen? Because you were spiritually immature as well. So Christians, let's remember, spiritual immaturity brings consequences. And we choose these detours and then we blame God for it. Quit blaming God and let him redeem you out of the mess that you've made. You see, God gives us the roadmap and we discard it and wonder why we have problems. Wonder why you have problems. Have you ever driven somewhere and you know, on our phones we have our GPSs? And you're like, oh, I know how to get there. Have you ever done that? You've only been there like once. And you're like, oh, I know how to get there. And then you get lost. And then it takes you 40 minutes extra time to get there. And you're like, and you're all mad and angry, like, ah, I wasted all that time. Yeah, well, you had the roadmap and you put it down. Quit doing that. You have God's roadmap for your life. Quit casting it aside and do what he tells you you need to do. He doesn't tell you to do the things you need to do so that he can suck the joy out of your life. He tells you to save you from headaches and problems. Amen. Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10. But hold your spot in Numbers, all right? You don't have to turn there. I'll read it if you don't turn very quickly or whatnot. But Luke chapter 10, and you're familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're talking about spiritually immature detours. Luke chapter number 10, we're going to read verses 30 to 32. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 32. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He took a detour. Look at verse 32. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and what did he do? Passed by on the other side. You say, what are you getting at, Pastor Kurt? I'm getting at that God had laid right in front of this priest and this Levite an opportunity to witness or an opportunity to minister or an opportunity to serve God, and they chose to detour out of God's will for their life. Christian, is God laying in front of you opportunities to serve him, opportunities to witness to your friends or your neighbors or your coworkers, and you are purposely choosing detours? That's immature detour, spiritually immature. We need to understand and recognize these opportunities that God lays in front of us and quit taking the detours. Psalms chapter 95, verses 7 through 11, I'll just summarize. Basically, it's talking about it mentions this experience with the Israelites that we just read in Numbers, and it basically is saying if you ignore God's instructions, you will have consequences. So Christian, let's stop blaming God. Let's stop detouring because of our spiritual immaturity and recognize what God wants us to do. Now, if you've already made a mess out of your life, many of us have at times, amen, right? We've all been there at one point or another. We've already made the detour and we regret it, right? We've all been there, amen? God says, quit blaming me, admit your problems, and I will redeem your situation. So I'm not giving you doom and gloom. I'm giving you, if you quit blaming God, admit it, he'll redeem you from your situation. But you got to quit blaming God and turn to him. Amen? We also get mad at friends, maybe pastors or Sunday school teachers that try and help. Right? Numbers chapter 22, verses 28 to 32. We all know, probably most of us know the story of Balaam and the donkey. Balaam's riding on the donkey, and the donkey takes a detour. He sees the angel of death in front of him, and he stops, and he wants to, you know, whatever. And Balaam's like, quit, and he's like smacking him, and he's hitting the donkey. And you remember what happened? And then the donkey, God gave the donkey the supernatural ability to speak, and he's like, why are you hitting me? You're going to be killed. What are you doing? Well, that's how it is having a good friend in your life. That's saying, look at the path you're going down. It's going to lead to destruction in your life. And you hit your friend, not physically, but metaphorically speaking. You yell at your friend or you get mad at them. Maybe you do hit them physically. I don't know, right? Hopefully not. But the point is, they're trying to help keep you from taking that bad detour, right? And you get mad. What does Proverbs say? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if you have a Christian friend in your life that's trying to tell you to, hey, knock it off, you're just going down a bad path, don't get angry with them. Understand that they love you and care for you. Or if a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or your parents try and save you from that headache, be thankful for that. Not only do we see immature detours, but we see innocent bystanders. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. It says, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Woo, that is intense right there. It's saying, hey, your children are going to be doomed, if you will, to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear the results of what you chose to do until you all die. Now, that's some innocent bystanders right there. Amen? These children didn't make that decision. The parents did. And you know, you and I, so many people think you make decisions in a vacuum. Hey, it's my life. Leave me alone. I'll do what I want. It doesn't affect you anyways. Well, I'm sorry to say, but every decision you make is going to affect others. It's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect other people. Do you have children? Every decision that you make as a parent is going to affect your children. Every decision that you make as a spouse, as a husband or wife, is going to affect your spouse. It is. There is no way around it. That's the way that God designed it. Be mad at him if you want, but it won't change anything. So Christians, we need to understand, first off, sometimes we think all decisions we make don't affect others, but that is not true. That is not true. Oh, it's my life, leave me alone. No, it's not. It's not just your life. It's like six other people's lives that you're messing with. Every decision you make is going to affect others. Secondly, if you are one of those people that maybe you've been an innocent bystander, right? As these children, they didn't make the decision, it was their parents. And yet they were doomed to wander the wilderness, right? For 40 years. But you know what? The good thing is, if you're one of those innocent bystanders, there's good news. What's the good news? The good news is that the children, yes, they were affected by the decisions of the parents, but the decisions that the parents did, the kids didn't reap those, the death, the fact that they died. The children got to see the promised land. Amen? So if you've been that innocent bystander, yeah, my parents are divorced and it's been a messy, you know, whatever, messy family life, or oh, my dad was addicted to drugs, or whatever the case is, there's so many things out there. You've been an innocent bystander. God says you don't have to be affected by their decisions anymore. Amen? Now, it will reap some kind of things onto your life. I totally understand that. But God says the end result doesn't have to affect you because you can make your own decisions. Amen? You don't have to be affected by that any longer. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Let's talk about Joshua and Caleb. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Now, here's the part I want you to notice. Save or accept Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So God's saying, none of y'all are going to go into the promised land, but Joshua and Caleb, you will, because you stayed faithful. You know how many times I hear from people, I work at a place, there's not a Christian around. Still stay faithful to God. It doesn't matter what the other decision, what everybody else does. God says, I'll bless you. It don't matter what everybody else is doing. Yes, you're going to be affected by the results. Like, let's talk about America. If America continues to go down this path of getting away from Christianity and getting away from the God of the Bible, guess what? America's going to have some wrath on it from God. But you and I, if we stay faithful to God, he can still bless us. Amen? Innocent bystanders. Now, sometimes you think you're an innocent bystander, but you're not. Right? Amen? I don't want to make you mad this morning, but let's talk about Moses for a second. Moses was the leader. Moses is like, God, I'm suffering all this 40 years in the wilderness because of these stupid Israelites. God says, no, Moses, you were the leader. You could have just told him we're going in. But he didn't. So here's Moses saying, I'm an innocent bystander. God says, no, you're not. Moses didn't even get to go into the promised land. Why? Because he struck the rock the time that God told him to speak to it. Moses is like, God, all these people, I suffered. No, it's because of you, Moses. Christian, how many times are you like, oh, because of my parents, or because of my kids, or because of my brother, or because of my husband, or my wife? God says, no, it's because of you. Amen? Not trying to make you mad this morning, but I'm trying to help you. Trying to help you and challenge you. God says, Some people are an innocent bystander, but sometimes you're not. You're just as guilty, just as much to blame as they are. God says, take care of you. Amen? Take care of you. Don't sit by and let life happen to you. Take charge of your own life. Well, my mom and dad, I can't, you know. But God says, I don't care. You're an adult. Make your own decisions. Take charge of your own life. Well, my mom and dad, you know, they're not very spiritual. God says, I don't care. You can choose to be spiritual. Amen? Well, my husband, my wife, they're not very spiritual. They don't even want to go to church. God says, I don't care. You can make your own decisions. So you can stand by and claim to be an innocent bystander, but God says, I'm going to hold you accountable too. Amen? I'll share a quick story. When I was in middle school, I remember talking about thinking you're an innocent bystander, but you're really not. I got in trouble one time, big trouble, because I was in middle school, and I go to the bathroom, and I had two buddies that, first of all, I wasn't supposed to hang out with, okay? My parents were like, no, they're bad kids, don't hang out with them. Well, I did at school, okay? And we go into the restroom. I'm actually going to the restroom, you know. And my two buddies, being the idiots that they were, they literally ripped down the stall door. Like, just being just idiots, okay? Can we all agree that middle school boys are pretty much idiots? I'm just kidding. No offense. Where's Clay? No offense, all right? No, but seriously, middle school boys just make bad decisions at times, right? Anyways, they rip down the stall door, and it falls and just like, boom, you know, hits the ground. And we all looked at each other, and we run out. Well, because the big thud, and I promise you, I didn't rip it down. I didn't. So I was an innocent bystander, right? But anyways, a teacher heard it, and they come running out because the bathroom was by a door, comes running out the door and sees all three of us come running out the door. And, you know, takes us up to the office. We didn't get suspended, thank God, but they called home. And my brothers, okay, they got calls home all the time. That was, another call for Michael, right? You know, I'm just kidding. But for me, that was a big deal. Like, if I got a call home, I was in trouble because it was like, no, Kurt, you're not, you know, you don't get C's, you don't get calls home, whatever. So I got a call home. I got in a lot of trouble. And I remember saying to my parents, it's not my fault. I didn't even do it. And my mom's like, you shouldn't have been hanging out with them anyway, so you're to blame too. And I remember that. I was like, I wasn't an innocent bystander. It was my fault for being with them. Amen? So Christian, quit blaming other people and say, it's not my fault, it's what they did. Take charge of your own life. Amen? Take responsibility for your spiritual life. Take responsibility for your personal life, your financial life, whatever the case may be. Quit blaming others. Take responsibility for it. There truly are innocent bystanders. Understand me. But don't claim to be an innocent bystander when you're making the same dumb decisions. Amen? All right, let's go on before you throw something at me. And then thirdly, we see not only spiritually immature detours, not only do we see innocent bystanders, but we see Emmanuel's detours. Well, once again, verse 30, it said, but Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, would go into the promised land. Amen. So let's talk about the Emmanuel's detours. John chapter 11, verse 25 says this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. So the first detour is from death unto life. Amen. The first detour from Emmanuel is from death unto life. Praise God for that. Because the Bible says we are dead in our sins. Each and every one of us. We're all a sinner. If you don't admit that, you know, just think about your life, and I think you'll come to the conclusion that you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We are spiritually dead. The Bible says we are without hope. We are yet in our sins, okay? But because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he can make us alive. Amen? So the first detour is from death unto life. And then we can have other detours. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. We read about the Christmas story. And it talks about the wise men. And it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So the wise men actually were detoured by God himself. God says, hey, take this detour because you're headed for problems. Christian, maybe you're headed down the wrong path. Maybe you're headed for destruction. Not physical destruction, but spiritual destruction. And God says, look, I want to detour you. You know how many times I've heard people say, well, you know what? It was good that I went through all that because I learned. And I know that. I've been through things in my life that I'm like, yeah, I'm thankful I went through that. I learned. But you know what's better? Quit being so hard-headed and learn the lesson without going through the heartache. Amen? Learn the lesson without going through the heartache. Unless you just like pain. You're a weirdo, all right? Learn the lesson without going through the heartache. Yes, can you use your experiences in life where you've made dumb decisions and gone through things? Can you use that to make your life better? Yes, you can. But I think we'd all agree, if you could have learned the lesson without going through all that garbage that you went through, I think you'd agree, yeah, I don't want my kids to go through that. I don't want my grandkids to go through that. I don't want my best friend to have to go through those heartaches. Amen? So learn the lesson without having to go through the heartache. Maybe like Philip in Acts chapter 8, God wants to detour you so that you can minister or witness to somebody. You remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Ethiopian eunuch was driving and God says, Philip, go over here. Why? Because the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the scriptures. And Philip goes to him and says, hey, do you understand what you read? And he says, how can I except some man teach me? Maybe God's putting a detour in your life saying, hey, I know you were planning on going to lunch today all by yourself, but you know that coworker that you have? They seem a little down. Maybe ask them for lunch. Maybe ask them to go to lunch with you today. You're like, well, God, that wasn't in my plans. I want to detour you because they need ministered to. Amen? I'm trying to be real practical here, down in our practical lives. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, we see Paul be detoured so that he can learn and train for the ministry. I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. It says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So here's what I want you to get. Paul was detoured because God says, you know what? I want you to learn and train. I have this plan for you to do great things. I want you to learn and train. You may be in a spot in your life, you're like, well, God, maybe I need to do this. And God says, no. I want to detour you because I want you to train for the ministry, or I want you to train to do this thing for me. So in short, Christian, detours. You need to be spiritually aware to know if it's God's or if it's your own. Is it God's detour or is it your own detour? And let me just close with this. If you've made your own detours, and once again I've said it, but I want to repeat it as a closing line so that God can deal with your heart. If you've made a mess of your life because you've chosen these detours that you know you shouldn't have, just turn it over to God, and He can redeem you from the mess that you've made. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy.